It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio or Chant TV. How are we doing out there? Good to be with you as always. Redemption Thursday slash NFL Draft Thursday slash it's just a gorgeous day to be here talking sports with you. I'm Jeff. Director Matthew is back. He is here. Tom is not today. We are solo-ish, if you will. Although Matthew and I were just telling funny stories about the draft and this process that goes on with, obviously, disinformation, misinformation, teams trying to figure out who's what and why, trying to disparage their potential picks so that they can have them, all that good stuff. We got a lot that we have to get to today. It'll be a fun show, as always, and plenty of things to kind of talk about, both draft-related, but also transfer portal stuff. I'm there as well. Also, gonna note that I'm decidedly a little bit more, I think, giddy about this year's draft and the upcoming NFL season, really the upcoming NFL seasons, with the way that Florida State's roster has filled out. Let me tell you what's fun entering into a draft in which, we all have interest typically, but in this case, Florida State has 8 of the top 150 prospects, depending on where you look in the draft. Now, there will be, just so you know, and to put this into context, 257 selections over 7 rounds. So when I tell you that Florida State has at least 8 of the top 150 prospects, that's not the order in which they'll get picked. That doesn't mean that they're all going to go top 150 or anything like that. Prospect ratings are not the same as selection order or spot. Obviously, team needs and position value play a huge role in all of this. So, it's a juggle, right? You could be, for example, some people, most don't, but some people maybe would look at a Jared Verse as the top defensive end on their board, number one, as to the defensive end spot. And now, that's not consensus, not even close. In fact, Dallas Turner is probably more likely the number one guy, kid out of Alabama. Plenty of people like the Latu guy who they deem to be the best pure pass rusher here. Others like Verse. It really depends, and this is where we get back to draft order, who's on the clock, draft needs, team needs, where a guy's going to go or not. But I do think that just big picture, it's fun to go into a draft and know, and you might be asking yourself, well, who of the Florida State guys are the ones that that you're talking about. Well, of that group that you would have under the banner of the top 150 players, you know, on the prospects, I should say, excuse me, top 150 prospects, it'd be Jared Verse, Keon Coleman, Braden Fish, Johnny Wilson, Jaheim Bell, no particular, Trey Benson, Renardo Green, Jerrion Jones. All those guys would fit under that umbrella. And they're all going to get drafted. Those guys are definitely going to get drafted. It's just a matter of where, to what team, day one, day two, day three, what's it going to look like? It's cool. We haven't really had that in some time, and I obviously wish all those guys well. You know, it's funny. I think about this, and I try to bring it back home for all of us with the NFL draft and when I think about the college football and I think, you know, the Florida State guys in college football, of course, that we get excited about. And I'm reminded, you know, Jared Verse is a kid I did an interview with basically the day he got here once he committed from Albany. And I brought this up the other day with Tom. You know, he was immediately a guy that you were impressed by because he was very confident. For a kid coming over from Albany, how about that confidence, right? He was brimming with it. Self-belief. And another thing about it was he was a guy that was already praising this staff and talking about his teammates pretty quickly. And he said, in essence, hey, I definitely did my due diligence. His parents had not unlike teams that have NFL draft boards, his parents had college draft boards, and they were looking at those teams in the same way that GMs, scouts, and coaches look at players, and they were saying, well, what is this team? What is this university? What is this coaching staff? What does this program and their history bring to the table for me? What a smart way to vet, right? To have that sitting up in your kitchen, he told me, to sit down with your mom and dad on a nightly basis over dinner and to look at that list and say, well, let's talk about this together. Let's go through it and say, what do we think about team A, team B, team C, team D? And then have a pro and con list and literally write it down. Like, sit there. Well, mom, what do you think of this? Dad, what do you think of this? Here's what I think about that visit or that conversation. Now you fast forward to where we are tonight. Jared Verse is going to get to hear his name called in all likelihood tonight. How cool is that? That process paid off in such a big way. Such a big, big way. I love it. I love it. The other thing I think about when I think about the draft is I think about some friends of mine, former teammates. Obviously, I've mentioned William a lot, but I was also teammates. Our starting quarterback my senior year was a kid named Tommy Carter. Now, this goes back a ways for you youngins. Tommy was drafted in 1993. I was here in Tallahassee, and I almost wept for the young man because he's damn near a perfect human being. And he went to Notre Dame, where he played 3 years, and was drafted 17th overall by the then Washington Redskins. He had 6 interceptions his rookie season in the NFL. One of them was against Dan Marino on Monday Night Football. I'll never forget that as well. But my favorite part about that kid realizing his dream, that young man, my now friend of 30-plus years, is that that guy did everything right, and he was also the fastest person I've ever been around. And I remember that he called me from Notre Dame when he went there, and he had outrun Rocket Ishmael in his freshman season. And then when he got to the NFL, I said, well, did you outrun Daryl Green, who's going into the Hall of Fame, by the way? Daryl Green, one of the fastest people to ever play in the NFL. And he said, no, I did not. No, I did not. I did not. But I was close. I at least was in the same ballpark. It's so cool to think the commitment and the time and the effort and the sacrifice that these guys make and then have it realized. I like this with any draft. I'm this way about, you know, all the drafts, but none of them seem to be as interesting. Like, you don't sit around, people don't celebrate draft day for Major League Baseball. You don't really celebrate the NHL draft. Like, it's largely a bunch of people you've never heard of. But because college football is so wildly popular, and because we watch all the leagues and all the divisions and all of the programs, we have a pretty good idea. And then we were going through this the other day about percentages and how few of these guys that these teams are going to draft make it. And it's weird because you would think with all of the vetting, with all of the time spent interviewing and poking and prodding and testing, that they would have a much better chance to get more of these things right than not. But if you consider that, let's say you're going to get, especially if you have multiple picks, maybe you're going to get 10 guys in a draft. Okay, if you have multiple picks, right? You got seven rounds. If you have all seven of your picks and maybe you accrued some others or you trade back and you bring in more picks, you know, the chances are of the 10 picks you have or maybe the 11 or 12 picks you have, the chances are that you're going to get four of those right. You're going to get four players that you're like 2 years from now, you're looking out there and you're going, these four guys are doing something. And at certain positions, it's even worse than that. And what does that do? Well, that gets you in the conversation as a fan, because I think all of us who pay attention to the game and all of us who really take the time and are invested, and maybe you played a little yourself, a lot of people listening to this show certainly played, you feel like you've got a decent acumen about the game. You feel like you know what you're looking at a little bit. You can certainly look at traits of a player and say, well, I think he fits here. He doesn't fit here. This is a guy that would work right in this system, but not this system, that kind of stuff. Of all the things over the years that have happened to get us closer to the subjects that we watch on a Saturday and a Sunday afternoon, this stuff about what goes on in the scouting world, what GMs do, our access to these people because of, say, social media and the ability to watch film, all that stuff, gives you a pretty good chance of kind of playing along, doing what the GMs are doing and second guessing. We all love to. That's sports. You know, listen, it's so funny how this works. You know, you can hate a team or hate a player, and there's no doubt you're influenced by that. As you watch it play out, you're probably biased in a way that you have to check yourself. I hate that kid. It's not going to work out for him. Or you hate the organization, and they make a pick. You're like, oh, good, stupid asses. That's not going to work. And we all do that with each other when it's somebody else's team or somebody else's pick. Ah, that's crazy. What were they thinking? When it's your team, you're like, okay, I can see it. I can see it. You know, I'm not wild about that pick. That's not who I would have taken, but I can see it. This is hilarious. We always do it. It's great. It's fun to watch. Quickly in the Heisen Legal Law Firm chat, I see some of you there populating. Appreciate that always. Haley, I've already answered this. I've done this over the last few days. We're good to go on injuries from the spring in terms of those that participated and people you saw get dinged during the spring football showcase. It seems to me that we're going to be just fine when it comes to Benson and Ferguson moving forward. That's the good news. This is where we're at. I'm not allowed to go into the depth about injury. I do want to segue quickly here in this opening segment about something that we're all watching very, very carefully, and that is, of course, the transfer portal and trying to get a handle on the market. And one thing I'm beginning to realize through observation, the powers of observation, but certainly making a few phone calls, this particular cycle in the transfer portal market is not robust. It is not filled with a bunch of elite players. It is not, there's not an overabundance of real difference makers out there. And I'll tell you what I come back to here. I think Florida State is going to continue to be very selective. I think they definitely want a defensive tackle. I don't know that they're going to get a defensive tackle, that they're going to get a guy that wows you. I think they're certainly going to go out and get a wide receiver. But there isn't a Keon Coleman out there that is an obvious choice that you could throw money at and say, you got to get that guy. That's the one guy. You know, here are the five receivers that are out there. One of them is clearly a number one on this list. It's a big drop-off after that. Then you're going to go and say, well, maybe I really wouldn't want to waste my time with that guy. But all of this is informed by what they did when they brought in DJU. Think back to the end of the season and what Florida State was or was not going to be in all of our minds moving forward. What we thought on the heels of 13-0 and then the disastrous snub and the game of which we do not speak, right? So we know all of that. And then we thought, okay, well, what will they do? And we had a debate about, with the losses you were going to have on the roster, what kind of moves do you make? And are those moves informed by the idea that you could once again come close to repeating something of a season that you just saw, a 13-0 campaign, a 12-1 type thing? Could you, is there something you could do with that? And you know, it's fascinating because I wrestled with that. I thought they're going to be a good team, but I don't know that they're going to be a national championship caliber team next year with all that they have to replace. But could they still compete for the conference and be a playoff team? And I answered that yes. And so you were kind of, is this a 9-3, 10-2, 11-1, 12-0? Define your terms. What do you think they could be? And I said, well, the coaches will tell us what they think by what they choose to bring in or not bring in. But when they brought in DJU, they basically were telling you they did not want to see a significant backslide. And when you have a talented player like a Brock Glenn, okay, who obviously we think a lot of and we think in time will be a very good prospect at quarterback, you still have to accept that even if you like his upside, that he would be a first-year starter had you not brought in DJU. And first-year starters at quarterback, no matter how talented, are going to have to pay their dues. They're going to take their lumps. There's going to be a game or two in the process, speed of the game, all of that. Learning experiences, late game heroics and failures, all of that adds up to make a quarterback what he is his junior and senior seasons. So you were going to go through a season where there would be real highs, probably some real lows, and I don't know, we could have all bet on what we think that is, 8-4, 9-3, I don't know. But when you brought in DJU, you were basically saying, no, 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 we want a really experienced guy because we think the talent on the roster, especially when it became obvious that you could go get, you know, this wide array of talent from Alabama because of the circumstances that happened there, that you could bring in a potential star receiver from Alabama and running back from Alabama and offensive lineman from Alabama, that these were kids that were all an Earl Little Jr. defensive back. That, like, you were thinking to yourself, man, all these guys want to come here? Don't mind if I do. We kind of got to pull the trigger. These are 4- and 5-star kids that were evaluated by Nick Saban. If you got a chance at them, probably got to do it. So we did it. We did it. We brought all that in. And at that point, you're playing for keeps. You know, you're going for it. And it's fascinating, though, because I'm seeing a real lukewarm, a tepid response to the portal being open. Also, I'm wondering how quickly we're going to learn of Florida State's players that are leaving. My guess is, come this weekend, what is today, the 25th? I got that right, Matthew, the 25th? This thing ends on the 30th. By definition, the movement within our own roster and then whatever it is they think they have to supplement this roster with, well, you got like 5 days. This is it. We're probably going to find out a lot. We all want to know now. But my guess is we're going to find out a lot in the next 48 hours. I think you'll start to see the end of the exit interviews. Players will know where they stand. Coaching staff will know what they have to do based on players they've either encouraged to take it on down the road, as I like to say, or players that have become available. And it'll all add up to a lot more information. There is a piece of information I got to get to on the legal front involving Florida State and the ACC. We'll do that next. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom, a salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, Don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road, and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, now's when I talk. Jeff Cameron Show, by the way, at Jay Cameron Show on Twitter. Tried and True Consulting is a payments and business solutions company. It's owned by fellow Knowles, good guys. I know them both. You see that big ass, there it is, the QR code. Boom, you hit that right there on the screen. You'll find out more. You'll learn more about what they do. But I can tell you this, they're committed to reducing costs and increasing your bottom line. Everybody likes that. And they'll give back 10% of their net revenue to the Battles Inn. So hit the trifecta today. Scan the QR code. Call alumni Don or Joe, 844-464-6653. Go tried and true today. Back to the action here. I mentioned some legal wranglings to get to. Our own Ira Shafel writing this story on warchant.com. And here it is. I'll read not the story in its entirety, but just the openers here for you so that we can talk about it for a second. More than 3 months after asking the ACC to release its contracts with television partner ESPN, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody on Thursday renewed her quest by filing a lawsuit against the conference in Leon County Circuit Court in a 13-page complaint, first reported by Politico. Moody contends the ACC is operating in violation of Florida public records and should be required to turn over the documents and also pay any attorney's fees and other expenses incurred by her office. Moody, who is the top legal officer in Florida, originally requested the documents back on January the 4th, 1 week after FSU filed a lawsuit against the ACC in Leon County, and the conference sued FSU in Mecklenburg County in North Carolina. The Office of the Attorney General requested these media rights contracts. The ACC refused to turn them over. The ACC would not produce a single word of the contracts, including terms already disclosed publicly, including by the ACC itself. The signature blocks, dates, and numbers of paragraphs, recitals, or even numbers of pages. The contracts are a public record because Florida State University examines and uses the media rights contracts in the transaction of the agency's official business. In the new complaint, Moody offers several examples of case law where private entities were required to comply with Florida public records laws. One of those was in 2009. It was a battle in Leon County in which the NCAA tried to keep private its documents related to an investigation into an academic scandal. Judge John C. Cooper, who is presiding over FSU's current lawsuit against the ACC, ruled in favor of the Associated Press there and other media outlets in the case, determining that the NCAA had to release the documents. All right, so you could go back and read the rest of this story. It is more involved. Iyer did a thorough and very good job of reporting this story, as he always does. This, to me, surface-level observation, not an attorney, is just another way of putting pressure on the ACC. This is about putting more and more pressure on the ACC. And I think ultimately, what we've been talking about pretty consistently here, you guys in the chat and elsewhere, all of us in our conversations with attorneys, and of course, probably irresponsible speculation. We've all come back to the same point, which is, of course, yes, we'd like to get out. We'd like to roll on and roll on soon. Probably more than that, we want to certainly create a situation by which we can get to the negotiating table and find a more reasonable number by which to stroke that check and ride out. And I just look at this, I view it from the prism of anything that can help provide more pressure, legal, financial pressure on the ACC and or ESPN, the better. And, the, you know, we would like to believe the greater the likelihood that this thing gets mediated, that this thing gets negotiated to a place where we find a suitable number. Don't know. I also think it means that it bogs things down some more. And ultimately, we've come back over and over and over about every time there's a setback or a delay or a request or something of that sort, we end up, you know, there's an action that has to be taken, but then that action can be responded to in a course of weeks, sometimes days, but usually weeks, by the other side. So when this happens, you have this suggestion from a judge or you have this action from an attorney, then the other side has a reasonable amount of time to respond. That could be 7 days, could be 20 days. And next thing you know, we're getting this bogged down in what happens in the course of legal action is a lot of time goes by and we're all antsy and nobody likes it. Nobody likes to have things pushed back, elongated, delayed. Not when it comes to your financial future, not when it comes to the future of where it is you're going to be playing college football or college basketball for that matter, because this is, we found out that Watkins has declared for the NBA, and Florida State loses another player. They bring in another player. But just as it stands now, Florida State already facing the departure of 3 seniors and the loss of 6 players into the transfer portal. FSU basketball received what I would call is a kick to the cojones when Jameer Watkins said he's declaring for the NBA draft, foregoing his senior season. You know, look, this was a guy that we didn't expect to have the kind of season that he did this past year. He was rather unremarkable at VCU. He came here, and man, did he have a campaign. Was very, very, very good. In fact, scored 15.6 points per game, rebounding to the tune of 6 per game, had a total of 64 steals, as well as starting all 33 games. He was a scoring machine for Florida State. He led the team in field goals attempted, made, free throws attempted, made, was second in three-point shooting, assists, block shots, minutes played, all of it. He's the only player on the roster who could, attack the basket and make things happen. If we're going to assume for a moment that nobody else jumps ship, you'll have 2 returning players from last season, Chandler Jackson and Bull Bowen. You know, we'll see. It's not good. It's not good. It's not a good situation. I don't have to tell you that. I do every day, but it gets depressing. But that's where we're at there. Really quickly, saw this. I think it's of interest. And it does involve Florida State for a second. I mentioned the defensive ends earlier. Some of you asked first round, second round, third round. Verse will go in the first round. Certainly seems reasonable that he would. There are 3 that NFL teams love. It's interesting to pay attention to the teams in tonight's draft that have had interest in perhaps trading up. That's always interesting, depending on what you think they're after. The Raiders have expressed interest in trading up. The Broncos, the Vikings, the Falcons, and the Giants are all teams that are willing to maybe make deals, move around. Defensive ends, the big 3, Dallas Turner. They love the traits out of Alabama. A lot of people believe the Atlanta Falcons will draft Dallas Turner. Jared Verse, described by most scouts, if you kind of put together an amalgamation of all of the write-ups of what he is, one word keeps coming up. Power, 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 power. Strong as an ox. Lacks the dynamic pass rush ability of a Turner or a Latu, but is a guy that is probably the most complete package of all the defensive ends in this draft. And that is that they say, look, you may not get a guy that's ever going to come close to leading the league in sacks, but what you're going to get is a guy who can get after the passer, will put up decent numbers in that arena, but can also set the edge against the run, seems to fit in, say, the AFC North, where teams, it's bloody, it's brutal, and you set the edge, create chaos, and right tackles beware. Wouldn't you love to see Jared Verse there? Hell, you might want to see him in Tampa or Miami or Atlanta or New Orleans, wherever it is your team plays. But just from a stylistic standpoint, it seems like he would fit. Some people think Jared Verse is a Will Anderson clone. You remember Verse, you remember Will Anderson at Alabama, who had a very good rookie year this year. He's not considered to be dynamic, but they look at him as a safe pick that would likely be a starter and contributor for a very long time to come. As to the question of how soon, look for Keon Coleman, Braden Fist to go second round within the top 50 picks of the draft. Trey Benson is more of a player that could go late second, early third. He's cursed by the fact that he plays running back, which is a devalued position, even if he's really good. Also, the running back conversation is fascinating. If you get into the weeds in this, there are people who think Trey Benson's the best running back coming out. There are plenty of people who think that Trey Benson is the sixth or seventh best running back coming out. It's a wide array of opinions about the running backs. It's amazing, in fact.
To give you a little glimpse, the team that I cover now,
Texas,
more so, there's a lot of talk that Jonathan Brooks is the best back, and he's coming off a torn ACL. So that tells you all you need to know about the running back class.
Well, and by the way, Texas is a fascinating program, and I'm glad you get to cover them because we compare notes all the time, you and I do. You know, they're hearing about all their receivers. It seems like Texas has 17 wide receivers that are good. What the hell? He's up on all the receivers. Let some other people have them. But who's the guy that's going late first they were talking about at wide receiver for Texas that has been badmouthed, we think, by the teams that are interested in drafting him?
Yeah, so Adonai Mitchell, he was a transfer from Georgia. There seems to be some politicking going on because nobody's ever heard a bad word about him until draft season.
Yeah.
When now he has type 1 diabetes. And all of a sudden, that's a problem. And if his diabetes is acting up, he becomes a bit of a...
Oh, then it's a character issue, right? Then it's the character issue.
Maybe he's late for a meeting. Who knows?
It's so funny. That has never changed. I can tell you that this a lot of Florida State players over the years have had this happen to them. And teams will stop at nothing to get their guy, including bad-mouthing their guy. Like, if they're really nervous that their guy, receiver, running back, you name it, are not going to last to where they pick at 20, 25, 30, something like that, out of the blue, that player will have some question marks about their character. Got some question marks. I'm not so sure this is a good guy. Now, listen, we all know about the physical traits. We know about the ability. Did you know he's got type 1 diabetes? Yeah, we knew that. It's public. Everybody knows about that. He's spoken openly about it. Yeah, but what you don't know is that if he's not regimented with that medicine, he might kill somebody. You're like, what? What? What are you saying?
And I'm speaking specifically to you, the Bills at 26.
Yeah, you may be drafting a murderer, not unlike the New England Patriots. So you've got to really do your... I'm just warning you, we're all in this together. I don't, you know, I think he's a good player too, but I'm just saying. I've seen this many times, many, many times. Yeah. This is a draft where if you want an offensive tackle, there are a slew of them. This is a draft where if you want a wide receiver, there are a slew of them. And the way this sets up, I'd be very surprised at this point if this draft doesn't go... Quarterback, receiver. Don't we think that's where this is going? I think that's right. You got New England at 3. They'll take a quarterback. They're going to listen. They'd have to be blown out of the water. You need a quarterback. You got to take one of them. Your Arizona, you're going to take the receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, they take Harrison, yeah.
You would have to blow them. Now, I would tell you this. If for some reason, listen, there are a lot of receivers. Again, people argue about receivers. If you don't think he's appreciably better than one of the other four or five guys that are going to go in the first round tonight, you could probably get a king's ransom from somebody wanting to move up and get a quarterback and slide down and still get an upper crust receiver, but you would need a lot for that to trade out of that. Because I think most people think we're looking at a guy that is transcendently good like his father.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Never lose your nerd, writes, hope my Rams get Jared Verse. Might. Jared's easy to root for. A lot of these kids are easy to root for. You know who drafts well, by the way, most of the time? That guy Tobin at Cincinnati knows what he's doing, and they're going to need a receiver to replace Perkins. I'm just looking at all the teams that are going to want a receiver. And, you know, what NFL teams have already done to this point, their draft board's done. They're talking to clubs about tentative deals today. Scouts are chilling or visiting spring practices elsewhere. Calls for guys, teams that are looking at the fourth or fifth or sixth rounds, trying to get more, and they're putting together their compensation packages, that kind of stuff. That's what you got going on. But right now, everything's locked up. This has been the quietest it's been regarding the rumor mill, because I think the commissioner put the kibosh on, like, teams leaking information because they got tired of draft day kind of being second fiddle to those that cover the draft's social media because those folks were announcing everybody long before it happened. Schefter was famous for it. Here's who they're going to take with pick 7. It's already happened, guys. Like, we haven't started the draft. Come on, man. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
You know, the other thing that, and I'm kind of circling back for a second, a little kind of herky-jerky today on my part between questions I'm trying to get answered for a lot of you guys with the transfer portal stuff. People are getting nervous because Florida State hasn't really done anything and you're not hearing much about it. But I do think that it's worth reiterating that they're at a place right now where the program is, you know, it's pretty well stacked with talent. Now, I'm not telling you there aren't more talented teams out there. We've got work to do. We still got to climb, still got to get deeper and better at certain in certain segment groups. Most teams do. I mean, there are very few exceptions, but that's where we want to get to. You want to get to a place where you're just like, man, we're loaded everywhere. And I think we are loaded in the secondary, and you know, I think we've got a stable of running backs that I'm really, really pleased with, and I think that they're good on the defensive line. They're pretty good on the offensive line. I think they could get deeper at both those positions, but there are no rumblings yet of a big name about to jump into the portal at wide receiver and defensive tackle, which is an area that I know they are interested in. And part of the problem, when you start to vet the portal currently, one thing that's standing out to me, and let's go back and revisit this. You had national folks talking about this. I know you heard this too, Matthew, because of your coverage of Texas. But, you know, even people I respect were real sure that there was going to be a ton of players all leaving big-name programs. Texas was mentioned left and right. But you had programs that, you know, are the creme de la creme of college football who people said were poised to lose, like, significant starters. Maybe quarterbacks were going to be out there and running backs and receivers and the sexy positions, right? All that. And then, you know, I kept asking around about that. I asked on the record. I did the interview with Ingram last week. You guys heard it. I asked him. I figure you got to ask a guy who's actually involved in a collective as opposed to just somebody throwing something up on the internet. And he didn't really see that happening. I called around, talked to some more people. They didn't really see that happening. They said, unless there's something we're going to get waylaid with, it doesn't seem to me that this is going to be a rich and deep portal market. One of the things we're learning is about this. Remember, this is still fairly new. But what we're learning is that what will programs pay for? What is a high-ticket item? What's a position that programs will, for lack of a better term, take out a huge percentage of their budget on? You know, like, I'm just making up numbers here, but if you got $1 million to spend in NIL money, is there a position that you'd be willing to spend, you know, $600,000 of that million on? Like, that they're that hard to find, that they're that significant in the way that they impact programs and games and seasons? Our team's desperate within that realm, and they say, you know what, I'll overpay for this. And defensive tackle is one of them. Defensive tackle is the position that programs will spend big money on. And so it's difficult because there aren't that many that are in the portal that you would identify as massive game changers. Like, it wasn't hard for Florida State to make the decision last year to go out and get Keon Coleman. He was a proven commodity. He was an asset at a place where they struggled on offense, struggled to throw the ball. They were in a conference that's not known for slinging it around the lot, traditionally. And he still put up good numbers relative to that conference, that quarterback, that team's talent level. And you just kind of knew, like, that guy's ready-made. He's an NFL wide receiver. He's 6'4", 200-plus pounds. He catches the ball in traffic. He's unlike anybody you have on your roster. And you need something to go with Johnny Wilson. And this guy would come in and immediately change who you are offensively, given what you already had at quarterback, given what you thought your offensive line was going to be, given that you had Trey Benson. You thought, okay, that's it. You got a guy. He's the cherry on top. We'll do it. But every cycle is different, and there's not always that obvious guy. There's not always somebody that you say, well, you can't miss. This guy's interested. We got to get him. We got to take him. He's a difference maker. We're going to go 12-0 with him as opposed to 9-3. Like, he's a 3-war. You know, he's somebody like that. Well, that's why each cycle is different. When you look at this current cycle, first of all, there hasn't been a huge run on elite players from elite programs flooding the market, and that we're going to be wowed by. No, we're not. We're not wowed by any of this. There aren't. Look at the market. Go look at the players. I'm not trying to disparage all these guys that are in the portal. Not a lot to choose from. Not a lot there that says, got to do it. Can't wait to spend a huge percentage of my budget on this, you know, third string defensive tackle. I can't wait to spend 65% of what we have to spend on NIL with new players on a kid that may not crack the two deep. You know, you in those moments, you ask yourself, are you just better off standing pat and accruing money, saving money and waiting to see, do we know, you know, maybe somebody in the next 48 hours just decides, that's it, I'm out. You know, I mean, it could still happen. These end of spring exit interviews are still going on. Some springs are still going on, right? So you don't know. There may be somebody. A lot of times you can catch wind of that. You can hear the, hey, there's a guy from, I don't know, LSU, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, that is thinking about leaving. Maybe you had prior contact with a player at wide receiver, at defensive tackle, in previous cycles, or at least there was mutual admiration. There was maybe somebody had reached out to you. They were thinking about putting their name in the portal, but they weren't real sure. They never did it. They still have another year. Maybe they'll go back in. You're waiting back. You know what? That's the kind of player that changes the game. The rest of these guys, they're depth pieces. They're not really game changers. And right now, given the position that they play, because everybody wants a defensive tackle and everybody wants a wide receiver, they're very expensive to bring in. We're going to end up having to overpay for a kid that we don't think is a difference maker. If you think that you have a roster right now to go 10-2, 11-1. If you think you have a roster that's 9-3, worst case scenario, as currently constructed, what's the player? Who's the player you're bringing in? Well, it has to be somebody that gives you a legitimate chance to go undefeated, or at least go like 11-1. You got to think in your mind, this is a player that changes us from 9-3 to 11-1. I'll do it. I'll overpay. This guy's that good. We got a chance to win the national championship if we bring in this player. If you're bringing in a player that you say, half a game, maybe. You know, I thought we were going to go 10-2. Still think we're going to go 10-2, just with a little bit better depth. Maybe a little bit larger margin for error than we had. That's it, maybe a little bit. Half game. You know, if you were to lose this starter, now you're 3 deep instead of 2 deep, so you wouldn't be panicking. Maybe, maybe. Well, what are you willing to pay for that? You're not going to pay $700,000, $800,000 for that, and you're going to let other teams overpay for that because you're playing the long game here. I don't know that I haven't seen a player's name out there that when you go and look at what they've done in college, what they've, you know, there are a lot of guys out there in the portal right now, by the way, that are on their third team in 3 years. It's a red flag. I'm not saying that there aren't players. Hey, we've had some. But you got to look at that very carefully. And if that player who fits under that descriptor isn't at a game-changing position, isn't a game-changer himself, isn't as an area of desperate need, then you're just going to take it on down the road. You're just not going to do it. And I know that we're anxious, and I know we feel like we got to make moves. You know, I'm not so sure. I'm a little worried about this. I'm a little worried about that. But I don't think you just make moves to make moves. I don't think you just bring in guys for the sake of bringing in guys. It affects you long-term in what you're going to be able to do when a name does enter the portal or a position does become a desperate need, and now all of a sudden you've spent a percentage of your budget on a rotational player that might be third string. That's what I'm saying about what I'm seeing in the portal right now. I'm not seeing that guy. I'm not seeing a robust market. I'm not seeing a mass influx of elite players where it's a free-for-all for elite team starters, because it didn't happen. And everybody who predicted that it would, I mean, they got misinformation. I think a lot of people are still wrestling with how to gauge this market, how to gauge what this even is. It's so new to college football. Who do you believe? Do you believe handlers? Do you believe local market guys that are covering their teams and what whispers they're hearing? Like, are you dealing with quote-unquote agents, even though they're not real agents, who are going to probably try to create this talking point? I think people are easily fooled right now. And I think it's hard to know. It is. It's really hard to know. I think we're all kind of, unless you hear specifically, I know they want this player, I know they'll go after this player, I know this is a position they have to have. Anymore, I'm kind of just trying to leave it alone. I'm leaving it alone. I know that they would like to bring in a wide receiver. I know that they would like to bring in a defensive back. A defensive tackle. They don't need to bring in a defensive back, that's for sure. I think they should probably want to look at an offensive tackle. I get no sense that they do. I don't think they agree with me at all. Trust your coaches. You don't have to trust me. I think they would be wise to bring in an offensive tackle, but I'm not hearing it. And part of that might be that even if they do want to do that, there's nobody out there that they're like, oh, that's the guy. So that's what makes it difficult. Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.